As I've always said, we are very lucky around here. We have so many different interesting presentations and subjects and topics that come up through various libraries and even the schools, both private and public. We just have a wealth of things that people can do, whether it's in person, hopefully soon, or via Zoom as well. And let's talk about something that I've read about in the Lakeville Journal, and we've set up an interview now with two of the participants, and that is Small Town Big Talk, which opened up March 12th and runs through at least the end of May at the D.M. Hunt Library. And with us we have on the phone this morning Adam Scheer. Adam, nice to speak to you today.
Pleasure speaking with you, Miles. Thanks for having us on.
Okay, and Rebecca Bloomfield. Rebecca, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
So let's talk about this exhibition, and also it's more than just an exhibition, because you're going to also have an actual talk about this on Saturday, April 10th at 10 o'clock in the morning, dmhuntlibrary.org. Whose idea was this originally? Was it something that you two were conversing about just in general, and you decided that, hey, this seems like a great project to go forward with?
Yeah, I'll give kind of an overview, and then maybe Rebecca can fill in a bit as well. Rebecca and I, and my wife Meg, who's the assistant director at the Hunt Library, had been talking for months, and really throughout the summer, about the social and political situation in our country, knowing how polarized things are, and also knowing that we live, as you said, Marshall, in such an amazing area that's quite culturally rich, and a whole range of people, and wonderful people, and yet you don't necessarily get to know people on a deep level when you're running across each other in the grocery store or what have you. You do that small talk thing that we all know. And we thought that one way of fostering more of a sense of community and more of a sense of unity was to try to get into that bigger talk, and not to be political about it, but really more to try to get to know who your neighbors are, who's in the community, and beyond that, beyond the exhibition, to suggest and encourage that we do this kind of big talk in our everyday lives, with our families, with the people we interact with at work or running across each other in town. So we kind of came up with this idea based on also some of the photography work that Rebecca had been doing around doing kind of intimate portraits of people. And we thought, well, let's do some interviews and pair those together and see what comes of it. And then, of course, you know, we thought the library, the Hunt Library, is such a perfect place for this, because the art wall is a wonderful project that's running all year and beautifully curated by Garth Koval and the other volunteers there. And you know, we have so many wonderful libraries in our area, and each kind of has their own character. And one thing that we know and love about the Hunt Library is that it's really a people-focused library. You come in and folks chat and get, you know, catch up with each other. And so we thought it was really appropriate there. And then we found a grant from the Berkshire Taconic Foundation that was putting together a Bridging Divides grant program that was exactly aligned with sort of the deeper purpose of what we were doing. So we were able to get some support from them, for which we are grateful, and we did the project.
I guess I'll go to you, Rebecca. First, your initial reaction to putting this project together, and now your reaction to seeing it put together, and the same thing to you, Adam, but we'll go to Rebecca first.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was really interesting the week that the project was opening at the library, because in some ways we've come to the end of all of this work that we put into it and the process of creating it, and then in some ways it started to feel like it was really beginning, because we were having people coming to the library or visiting the exhibition online and beginning to interact with it and have reactions to it and sharing their feelings about what they were reading and what they were seeing. And it feels like the project really came to life in a new way now that it's open. And so that's been really exciting for me to see, to understand how these questions kind of take on a life of their own, because the people who come to the exhibition or even the people who participated in it, whose portraits and quotes you see in it, are starting to, I think, dive deeper into some of these questions and are starting to talk about it with each other. And I would love for your listeners to know that people can actually participate if they want in answering some of these questions that we asked our participants. They can answer it online, and then we'll incorporate their answers into the exhibition, both online and in person at the Hunt.
You know, this is interesting because I don't know if you both remember years ago, probably about 8 years ago, Noble Horizons did something that wasn't quite as intense as this, but they interviewed local people, and then they had an artist do paintings of the people, and the paintings with the quotes about the backgrounds of the people were put up on display, and it was enormously, enormously successful. Now, Adam, when these interviews were done with people, did everybody get the same questions, or were there variants of the questions that were asked the participants?
Yes, everyone got the same questions, and in fact, that was part of the structure, the sort of constraints and conditions of the art was for us to kind of narrow down what are the set of questions that we're going to ask everybody. Is sort of a control for this social experiment, if you will, and then see all the different ways that people interact with it. You know, one of the other constraints was we were doing 20, sometimes 40-minute interviews with people, depending on how much they wanted to say, and then we went through every interview, carefully listening, to try to lift out maybe two or three sentences, right? So there were a lot of different standard constraints that we put upon ourselves going in. The set of five questions really was determinative in so many ways. And when you go into the exhibition at the Hunt Library or online, you'll see those five questions as you go in. And so it primes the pump for the people who are experiencing that project to think for themselves about those same questions. And we really put some thought into what would be questions that would be juicy enough to provoke that kind of big talk.
We'll get to those questions in just a second. We're talking with Adam Scheer and Rebecca Bloomfield, Small Town Big Talk at the DM Hunt Library, Saturday, April 10th at 10 o'clock in the morning, dmhuntlibrary.org, running through at least May 28th, maybe longer. Now, Rebecca, to you, did you take portraits, or did people send the pictures in? And if you did take the portraits, did you take them while they were being asked questions?
Mm-hmm. So I did take the portraits, and I took them while Adam was doing the interviews with the participants. And so what it would look like is we would meet the participants usually outside their home or sometimes outside their business, and Adam would do these interviews, and I would be taking the portraits throughout. And, yeah, and then that was also just like narrowing down the quotes, like Adam mentioned. It was a really interesting process of trying to decide from about, I don't know, 40 or 50 images of each person, which one to choose.
And the reason I asked that question, and I'm so glad to hear that you were there to take the pictures, is that it's a quandary where if you were to take a portrait separated from that and not get the real person behind the image, do you know what I mean? Without being there. I think being there and getting the actual pictures while this was going on is probably one of the more important parts of this whole presentation.
Right. That's true. It was interesting. I remember one person who had a great portrait. A lot of the portraits people were actually wearing their masks for. And at the end of an interview, we would extra distance and invite people to remove their mask if they wanted to for some unmasked photos. And everyone was open to that. And there was one person where we thought, oh, we'd love to get a photo of them without their mask. Should we go back and do it? And it felt really clear that it was important for these portraits to be representative of those 20 minutes that we were in this conversation together. And I'm really happy with the portraits that we ended up with. I feel like it is representative of some of those feelings and those moments and that dialogue that we were having.
Now, Adam, the questions that you asked, how many people were involved in sifting through and coming up with the ideas, and how did you make the final decisions on the questions that you came up with?
Well, Meg and Rebecca and I really did everything together. We had many, many evening-long phone calls. So the process was a bit extended. We came up with a whole variety of different questions and tried to narrow them down. Some of them were a bit more straightforward than we might expect. What are some of your hopes for our town and the world? What are some of your concerns about our town and the world? But then we got into some more unusual questions. I think one that stuck out to everybody was the question, what is a belief that you hold that's changed over time? And, you know, when we brought up that question, just to take a step back, we did give the participants the questions in advance when we set up the timing for the interviews with them. We really did want people to put thought into this. It's not to put people on the spot, right? We wanted people to be able to bring to the interview the fullness of themselves. And some questions like that, what's a belief you hold that's changed over time, can be quite a deep question and provoke feelings and memories for people. And many of the participants and interviewees really reported that these questions stirred up a lot for them and were difficult for them. So, which is good, which is what we were hoping would happen. I also should just mention, in terms of Rebecca's portrait work, she's probably too modest to say, but she's a magnificent photographer, I think. And one of the things that she does that I think is very unique is really concentrates on that candid moment in real time and bringing out, I would say, kind of the shine in the everyday moment. So these are not posed portraits for the most part, or really entirely not in that kind of sitting for a portrait way. They're in the moment with people speaking. And that's why you'll see people in the midst of speech, because you want that sense that you're there having that conversation. I think the photographs captured that beautifully.
Now, was this videoed at all?
No.
No. Okay. That's another interesting fact. I think video there, having video there would take the moment away from what you were doing.
And we did say when we were recording the conversations, which we needed to do to be able to go back, we said, we're not sharing these recordings with anybody, because we didn't want people to feel like, oh, I don't want to say the wrong thing. We were just going through just to pick out what we thought were emblematic sentences, a few. So we wanted people to be at ease, and you're right in pointing that out, Marshall.
Once again, Small Town Big Talk, it's underway right now at the library, the Emma Library, running through at least the end of May, Saturday, April 10th at 10 o'clock in the morning, dmhuntlibrary.org. Is this going to be a Zoom event?
Yeah.
One final question, as I sit here as a person who deals with words all the time. This must have taken quite a long time and kind of been a little frustrating to put together, because this is not an easy thing to do. You're representing people's words after they've said them. This is obviously not an easy task.
It was definitely challenging, and you know, to decide one snippet of a much larger conversation that goes up on the wall to represent this person, we wanted to do a really good job and make sure that everyone is comfortable enough with how they're represented. And so it felt like a really important task and an honor to get to do it. And I hope that all of the participants are happy with how they're represented. And Adam, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, I would just say that my experience, when I first saw the exhibition hung at the library as a whole, something hit me that hadn't truly occurred to me before, which was that these aren't 23 individuals only. Beyond that, you can read this exhibit and see those photographs as a microcosm of the town as a whole, and maybe our society beyond that, in a way. And so you could actually read all of these quotes as if it was one entity speaking. And so all of those people come together into a whole that's greater than the sum of its parts. And it was really a profound moment for me seeing that. I hadn't expected that or thought that that might emerge. So I encourage folks to look at it as a whole, as well as seeing these individual voices.
And I think the final thing that it provides is perspective to the people that see it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can look at things in your perspective, but when you get to look at things and understand things in your perspective and see the perspective of other people, especially other people in your area, it really has a chance to impact you with your own perspective as well.
Yeah, very well said. That was our intention.
Well, once again, the event is at the DM Hunt Library. It's running now through the 28th of May. Small Town, Big Talk. The Zoom event is Saturday, April 10th at 10 o'clock in the morning, dmhuntlibrary.org. Adam and Rebecca, thank you very much for sharing some time with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much, Marshall.